Guests tuned to yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Welcome to an hour of Radio Westerns, a trio of shows coming up. Later on, we'll hear a Treasury salute to Buffalo Bill and Have Gun Will Travel. But right now, it's the Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters. From December 15th, 1941, on the NBC Blue Network, Curly Bradley stars in The Mystery of the Border Smugglers.
The Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters are on the air, from coast to coast.
So let's get going.
Up, Tony. Up, boy. Up.
The Mystery of the Border Smugglers. Tom Mix is working with the Texas Rangers to smash a powerful gang of smugglers. Right now, this gang, led by a mysterious person known as the Mask, is holding Wrangler captive in an abandoned ranch house 10 miles outside of the town of Havanas. As Tom and Pecos search for the Wrangler, Tom notices a light in the old ranch house, and he and Pecos wheel their horses and ride in its direction. Meanwhile, unknown to them, they are being watched and are riding straight into the guns of the smugglers. In a moment, we'll learn what happens. But first, here's Pecos Williams.
Howdy, everybody. Say, these here are days when it's up to you and me and all of us to keep in the top of condition. And the best way I know to do this is to saddle up every morning with a hot dish of good old Ralston. Now, Ralston ain't just an ordinary cereal. Shuckins, no. It's an extra special kind of cereal that packs a heap of nourishment and quick energy. Cowboy energy. Ralston, you see, is made of whole wheat. And it's enriched with vitamin B1, the vitamin that gives you pizzazz. Has Ralston got a flavor that's a Lulu? You just asked any straight shooter you know. Now, why not tell your ma tonight to get you a red and white checkerboard package of good old Ralston tomorrow?
And now, come on out to the Rio Grande country. In the light of a full moon, Tom and Pecos are galloping toward the old abandoned ranch house, not realizing they are about to step into a dangerous trap.
Come on.
Stretch out
there, boy. Come on.
Jim, unently, Tom.
Yeah?
If you did see a light in that old house, it's probably nothing but a drifter who's holed up there for the night.
Well, you may be right, Pecos. We're not taking any chances.
Shuckins, I hope we ain't wasting time. We know something's happened to Wrangler, leastways we expect it has. It seems to me we ought to get to Havanas and try to pick up his trail pronto.
We'll only be a few minutes, Pecos. We may find something important. That old ranch house would make a pretty good hideout.
Sure would.
Here. Oh, easy. What is it, Tony? What is it, boy, huh?
He's sure acting mighty peculiar, Tom.
Yeah. He must be trying to tell us something. What is it, Tony, huh? What is it, fella?
Now, what in the name of bald-faced eagle?
He wants me to give him his head so he can show us what's wrong. All right. There you are. Go ahead. There you are.
That horse has got more sense than a whole bunch of people put together. Look at him, Tom.
Yeah.
He's slowing down. He's swerving away from the ranch house,
mm-hmm.
Tom.
Mm-hmm.
He must know there's someone in that house. Someone we gotta be careful of.
Yeah.
What do we do now, Tom?
Instead of riding up to the ranch, we leave the horses here and walk.
Right.
That way we can...
Ah, quick!
I thought. There is somebody there. And I'll send these horses on their way. Get them out of range.
All right, get going.
Don't
get
up. Come here. Get up.
Come on. Now what do we do?
Well, there's only one thing we can do.
Jim, I meant it. Don't that bullet burn my finger.
Yeah, they're using high-powered rifles, Pecos.
Yeah. And that means we got to get closer.
Well, luck before we can use our six-shooters.
He's jumping. Things are all beginning to heat up, Tom.
Yeah, head for that brush, Pecos. We gotta get undercover. Come on.
Right. Who's ever shooting that rifle sure knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Doggone it, there went my hat. Just wait till I get my hands on the
drop
woman.
Down, quick.
Right. I tell you, Tom.
Don't move, Peggy.
Right, Tom.
Manhandling that rifle's a good shot, all right.
Yeah.
I don't like the looks of this, Pegas.
Well, the only thing to do is to smoke them skunks out of there, Tom.
Yeah, maybe. Wrangler's in that house. He might...
You mean they'll make it too hot for him? They might...
Right. Listen, Pegas.
Yeah?
These men are sharpshooters, and there's a full moon. There's only a slim chance we can get up to that house without being hit. We've got to risk it.
Well, what are you leading up to, Tom?
Just this. Whoever gets close enough to help Wrangler has got to be a mighty good Indian fighter.
I get you.
All right, then. Come on, we'll try it together. Give me your knife.
Here. Going to hack off some of them bushes, huh?
That's right. We'll hold the bushes in front of us and creep up on the ranch house that way. There. Now, they'll hack off enough of these bushes.
Meanwhile, as Tom hacks away at the bushes, preparing to approach the ranch house Indian style, within the ranch house, Wrangler is being held prisoner.
Take these ropes off of me, you yellow-backed varmints. I just dare you to take them off.
Save your breath, mister. All the shouting in the world won't do you no good where you're going. We got orders from the mess to put you out of the way, so get moving.
Try and make me. Just try and make me.
I'm giving you one more chance now. Are you coming quiet, or do we have to persuade you?
Listen to me, you sneaking polecat. I'm tired of looking at your ugly face. So if you're aiming on shooting me, you may as well do it right here and now.
Oh, no. We ain't gonna shoot you. We got other plans.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's a cliff about 6 miles from here. We ride out to that cliff. When we get to it, we stop. But you keep going.
Gonna ride me off the cliff, eh?
That's right. When the Rangers find you, they'll think you've had an accident. You get it? What do you say? Do you come quiet or do we get rough?
What do you think?
I think we gotta get rough.
You're right.
Okay, I've wasted enough time. Joe, Pete, grab him.
Yeah.
All right, partner. You just come
here.
Hey, orders or no orders, I got a mind to plug you for that. Get away from him, Joe.
Hey, go ahead. I ain't scared of you, you yellow-livered coyote.
You asked for it, now you're going to get it.
Pete.
What?
The mask wants you. Quick.
Well, what's up?
The place is being attacked.
Okay, wait till I bed down this culprit.
Oh, there ain't no time for that. You can take care of him later. Come on.
Okay. I guess you'll be safe enough here, mister, till I get back.
All right, boys. Come on.
Looks like they spotted us behind these bushes, Tom.
Yeah, but not before we're close enough to do a little shooting on our own. Here goes.
Let them have it. Let's go.
Right.
We'll show them, Tom. Come on!
Yeah, we've got to...
Ooh! Tom!
Yeah, pull it, Grayson. Yeah, just a stretch. Take it. Look for the flashes of the rifles.
Right.
That'll give you an idea where to fire.
That's what I'm doing, Tom.
Okay. Come on. Let's start closing in, Pegas. We've got to get inside that house.
Yeah.
Hey, they stopped firing, Pegas.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Listen.
What is it, Tom?
I thought I heard hoofbeats.
I don't hear nothing.
Wait. Yeah, there they are. The whole gang heading away from the ranch.
Well, what's it mean, Tom?
That means they're afraid to stand and fight.
What'll we do?
We're going after them. I'll whistle for Tony. If Wrangler was in there, they'd probably taken him with them. They wouldn't leave him behind.
Well, maybe they would,
no,
Tom.
You'll make too valuable a hostage if we get him cornered. All right, Tony. All right, boy. Come on. Let's go.
Up, Tony.
Come,
up, boy.
Come on.
Get up.
Come on.
Sure was right, Tom. There they are up ahead.
Yeah. Get moving, Tony.
Come on,
Tony. Stretch out,
boy.
Get
on.
Come on. Come on.
Come on, Phil. They're a chucking lead back this way, Tom.
Yeah, I know it.
I don't care about them getting me, but if they get my horse like they got my hat...
We're gaining on it, Pegas. We're gaining. Can't take a chance on hitting Wrangler if he's with them. Fire over their heads. That may stop them.
All right. Just like you say, Tom. It ain't stopping them, none. Maybe I'd better...
No, we'll catch up with them soon. Come on, Tony. Come on. Keep low in the saddle, Pegas.
All right, Tom. Come on, come in.
Yeah, we're almost on them now.
Yeah. Their bullets are getting more and more uncomfortable close, Tom. What are you doing?
Uncoiling my rope.
You mean you're going
to... I think I can reach the last man in that gang. If I can pull him off his horse, there's just a chance that'll stop the rest of them. I'm going to try anyway.
Okay. Good luck, Tom.
Well, here goes. Oh, I better widen that loop. There. Now then. Here we go.
No!
away!
You did it, Tom! Partner, that's roping!
Whoa, Tony, whoa!
You yanked him clean out of the saddle. Hold, Comanche. Hold, boy, hold. Hey, they're stopping up ahead, too.
Yeah.
Looks like they're... Tom!
What?
Watch that varmint there on the ground that you roped. He's got a gun.
Oh, no, you don't.
No! My hand! I shot the gun out of my hand!
Take that rope off him, Pegasus, and keep him covered.
Right, Tom. Come here, you.
Hey, Pegasus.
Yeah?
The gang's coming back. Get set for anything.
All right, Tom. One of them's wearing a mask.
Yeah. He must be the leader. All right, you. What do you want?
Yeah. Pretty clever, Mix. Roping one of my men. I'll hand him over.
You stay where you are. I'll turn this man over to you and your hand Wrangler over to me. Now, where is he?
Bring the Wrangler forward, men. Here he is, Mix. Bound and gagged.
All right. I'll trade this man for Wrangler.
Oh, no, Mix. You don't think I came back to parley with you, do you? Oh, no. You're greased lightning on the draw. I know that. But suppose you take a look at this.
Tom, what? He's got...
Yeah, it's all right, cowboy. Don't get excited. Yeah. I got the muzzle of this gun against Wrangler's head. And unless you two drop your guns and surrender, I'll pull the trigger.
Holding his gun at the Wrangler's head, the mask calls upon Tom and Pecos to surrender. What will happen next? For fast action, mystery, and thrills, be sure to listen in tomorrow. Say, you know, Uncle Sam wants you to help build a stronger America by keeping physically fit and in the top of condition. Now, many wide-awake young Americans who are going places and doing things depend on good old Ralston to give them energy to help keep them fit. For Ralston puts the B1 in breakfast. And vitamin B1, as you know, is the cowboy energy vitamin. An amazing vitamin science tells us we must have every day if we want to have a keen, alert mind, good digestion, buoyant energy, and robust health. So if you want to be a leader and a winner, join the thousands of alert, wide-awake, straight shooters of America who start each morning off with Ralston, the hot whole wheat cereal that puts the B1 in B-Breakfast. Say, you'll go for Ralston. It tastes great. Ask Mother to get you a red and white checkerboard package tomorrow.
Hold on there, Dawn. I'll be a galloping gopher looking. It's roundup time. So let's get going.
Up, Tony. Up, boy. Up.
This here is Pecos, reminding you to buy defense bonds and stamps to help Uncle Sam win the war. You can buy them at your bank, post office, or ask your newspaper carrier boy or a retailer for them. Don't forget to tune in Tom Mix tomorrow at 5:45. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Tom Mix Ralston Straight Shooters on the air from December 15, 1941 on the NBC Blue Network. One of the few broadcasts of that long-running series to survive from radio's yesteryear. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now on to our second of three broadcasts. It's a Treasury salute to Buffalo Bill Cody. This part of the fifth War Loan Drive, the 85th episode in the series from June 12, 1944.
Treasury Salute, a program of the United States Treasury featuring Jack Smith, Brett Morrison, and the Treasury Orchestra under the direction of David Brookman. Buy bonds and more bonds. Let's all back the attack. Buy more than before. How do you do? This is Brett Morris. To most of us, the name of Buffalo Bill brings up memories of a man with a head of long hair, white mustache, and goatee, riding around the ring of a Wild West show, waving his hat. Well, that certainly was Buffalo Bill Cody in his later years, but he was more than that. He had fought Indians and fought them well. When the fight was over, no man dealt more fairly with them. We salute Buffalo Bill today as a scout, a friend of the Indian, and an American.
As I was a-walking one morning for pleasure, I spied a cowpuncher all riding alone. His hat was thrown back and his spurs were jingling, and as he approached, he was singing this song. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little doggies, it's your misfortune and none of my own. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little doggies, you know that Wyoming will be your new home. It's early in spring that we round up the dogies. We mark them and brand them and bob off their tails. We round up our horses, load up the chuck wagon, and then throw the dogies out onto the trail. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogies. It's your misfortune and none of my own. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogies. You know that Wyoming will be your new home. Some boys go off the trail for pleasure, but that's where they get it most awfully wrong. For you haven't no idea the trouble they give. It's why we go driving them along. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogies. It's your misfortune and none of my own. Whoopie-tie-i-o, get along, little dogies. You know that Wyoming will be your new home.
It is almost 100 years since William Cody was born in Scott County, Iowa. In his day, Indians were everywhere. The expansion westward was a driving force in the lives of many millions. Kansas was then a place stirring with new life and violent dangers. When Bill was 11, his father decided to pick a claim within that dark and bloody territory. He was a free soiler, in a day when the settlement of Kansas was a bitter battle between the free soilers and the pro-slavery men. Bleeding Kansas, what men called the place. During the month of June 1856, the father and son had sold some wood to the fort and were returning when a mob of drunken rowdies stopped them. They forced the father to mount a box and declare his stand on slavery. Not satisfied with his answer, they dragged him off the box and plunged a knife into the man's back while the boy caught his father as he fell back. These were the days that formed Buffalo Bill, days of violence that became years of warfare, a frontier filled with hates and wild terrors. For a boy, it was learn how to shoot straight first and write well second. At 11 years of age, Bill faced the problem of life in a rough and tumble world and never again went without a loaded gun at his side. The Wild West show was on, and it was played in dead earnest. Even the song the frontiersmen sang were mirrors of the lives they led, such as Cowboy's Lament, now sung by Jack Smith.
As I walked out in the streets of Laredo, as I walked out in Laredo one day, I spied a poor cowboy wrapped up in white linen. Wrapped up in white linen, as cold as the clay. Oh, beat the drum slowly and play the pipe lowly and play the dead march as you carry me along. Take me to the green valley, there lay the sod o'er me, for I'm a young cowboy, I know I've done wrong.
The war 4 years between 1861 and 1865 contain the names of mighty battles fought in the areas east of the Mississippi. Yet the entire West surged with the contest. Generals of honored fame led troops through this hotly contested arena. Sherman, Jeb Stuart, Forrest, Sheridan, Custer. As a scout for federal troops, Bill Cody knew them all. He had by that time traveled wildly through the region, was a veteran of the incessant conflict between the good and bad elements of the West. He was cast in a leading role with Custer's outfit, but owing to a military assignment, he was unable to appear in the last act of Custer's tragedy, which ended at the Battle of Little Bighorn. He was a part of the expedition which set out to capture the Indian chief, Sitting Bull. As a scout, he rode ahead of the detachment and fought a hand-to-hand duel with the first Sioux Indian he came upon, killing him and holding up his scalp to the arriving soldiers. "The first scalp for Custer," he cried. Buffalo Bill Cody, as an actor in history, was no matinee idol, but a man of courage and daring.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Oh, give me a land where the bright diamond sand flows leisurely down the stream, where the graceful white swan goes gliding along like a maid in a heavenly dream, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
After 300 years, the final surrender of the North American Indian to the United States government was made to Lieutenant General Miles. Bill Cody was present at the ceremony. The days of Indian fighting was done. Cody now took up another battle, one which he never ceased so long as he lived, the battle to help the Indian get a square deal. When his Wild West show was touring and he was called upon to speak, his words carried the one message: the Indian makes a good citizen, a good farmer, and a good soldier. He said it everywhere to everybody, unafraid of men because of their power or their politics. As a showman, Buffalo Bill Cody toured both America and Europe, meeting kings and queens and princes. A picturesque old man then, yet something remaining of the lad who had been a Pony Express rider, a pathfinder, a warrior, a counselor, and a treaty maker. So we salute today the man who never ceased being a fighter for the right as he saw it, Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman.
I'm a roving cowboy, far away from home, far from the prairie where I used to roam, where the dogies wander and the wind blows free. Oh, my heart is yonder on the lone prairie. Oh, carry me back to the lone prairie, where the coyotes howl and the wind blows free. And when I die, you can bury me 'neath the western sky on the lone prairie. back my saddle. Give me back my gun. Give me back that bronco that I used to run. Let me spread my blanket by a peaceful stream. Hear the cowboys singing by the campfire's gleam. Oh, carry me back to the lone prairie, where the coyotes howl and the wind blows free. And when I die, you can bury me 'neath the western sky on the lone prairie.
In many ways, Buffalo Bill Cody was typical of the spirit of America. A spirit of courage and integrity which will never die. And right now, our fighting men overseas are proving their matchless heroism with the same spirit. What are we doing here at home in this hour which decides the fate of the world? Are we standing behind the fifth war loan drive with every dollar we can scrape together? If not, we are failing our men. We are failing America. For this is the zero hour. And our part is to lend our fighting dollars. The goal is $6 billion from individuals alone. That means you've got to dig down deeper than ever before. You are asked to double the war bonds you bought in the last drive. If it means a sacrifice, make it in this hour of your country's greatest need. Back the attack. Buy double the war bonds you bought before. United States Treasury thanks Jack Smith and Brett Morrison, who appeared on this especially transcribed program. The Treasury Salute was written by Forrest Barnes and directed by Paul Lewis. The music was conducted by David Brookman. This is Vincent Connolly speaking.
Treasury Salute, on Tuned to Yesterday from June 12, 1944, from the Treasury Department syndication. We move on now to our final Western on Tuned to Yesterday for this hour. John Daner stars as Paladin and Have Gun Will Travel. From September 11, 1960, on CBS, the story called Deadline.
I know you men have accepted money to make trouble in this camp. Now listen. There's a broken jaw waiting for every one of you if you're not out of here by sundown.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco. 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Mr. Paladin.
Yes, over here, hey boy.
Oh, Mr. Paladin, a telegram come for you.
Oh, thank you. Listen to this, hey boy. Would you consider a job foreman, railroad construction crew? Need you, Willway, Nevada, urgent Alan Hurley.
Oh, this man make a joke, Mr. Paladin? Foreman, railroad construction crew?
Well, I know this Alan Hurley, hey boy. I don't think he means it as a joke. I don't believe this telegram exactly covers the situation.
Mr. Paladin, hey boy advise, do not accept offer.
Oh, why not?
Hey boy, one time with members of Celestial Dragon Society walk a railroad. Who? Very hard work. Foreman was very tough.
Oh, so you don't think I'm man enough for the job?
All right, you want to be like that, you go ahead. We don't pack gun. Pick a shovel. You find out.
Oh, no, sir. No pick and shovel for me. If I'm the foreman, I'm the boss. You hear?
Oh, you're a tough boss.
You bet.
So, you want to be tough boss. Telegram say urgent. So we go pack now?
Well, maybe there's time for another cognac and coffee. Please, Hayboy.
Yes, sir.
And listen, Hayboy, let's make no mistake about packing the gun. I'm sure Alan Hurley doesn't want to hire me just on my merit as a construction crew foreman.
Constipation can be a problem for anyone, even doctors. And when constipation occurs, it's interesting to see just what doctors consider important about a laxative they might use or recommend. Well, a majority of the doctors we heard from had this to say.
A laxative should be effective, gentle, close to natural acting. A medicine that can be used with complete confidence.
Now, X-Lax has been popular with many doctors and millions of people over the years because chocolated X-Lax is effective. Overnight, it helps you toward your normal regularity. X-Lax is so gentle, so close to natural acting, there's no upset. That's why many doctors and millions of people use X-Lax with complete confidence. X-Lax, the laxative that helps you toward your normal regularity, gently, overnight.
Where the train stopped to let me off, there was a water tank, a corral, and a frame building with a big sign that said, Pat Casey, Hauling. The one road that led from the railroad tracks was narrow, banked by sheer, rugged cliffs. I made the 99 miles to Willway in discomfort in a sort of combination freight and passenger mule-drawn coach, obviously a Pat Casey enterprise. When we finally reached Willway, we pulled up in front of a saloon adjoining the freight yard, and I went in. There was one other customer in the place, an old gray-haired man who was having an argument with a bartender. I didn't get the gist of the words, but I saw the old man reach for his gun when suddenly a long bullwhip flicked out from the top of the stairway and snaked around the man's gun arm, jerking it upward and sending the bullet wild into the ceiling.
You know, I won't have that in my place.
It's robbery. That's what it is, robbery.
Take his gun, Ben. Now unwind the whip from his wrist. All right, Buster, what's your problem?
I got some ore I got to get to the railroad. Yesterday, he said when I come in, I could have a mule train for $400. Today, he tells me $700.
$700? Vince told you that?
Yes, ma'am, he did.
Vince was mistaken. The train will cost you
$1,000. $1,000? I can't pay it.
Well, it's a shame. Well, you can always walk over the mountain.
You.
And here, take your gun. You'll need it.
Well, you're not going to get away with this forever. You wait. Just you wait.
Now, what can I do for you, mister?
I just stopped in for a drink. It's quite a trick, that thing with the whip.
Yeah, I learned that for a vaudeville turn some years ago. It comes in handy. Vince, give the stranger a drink. I'll be up in my office. I'm busy. I don't want to be bothered unless it's important.
Sure, Casey.
Casey?
That's Pat Casey.
Pat Casey Hauling?
Yep.
Well, what do you know?
Pretty, ain't she? Ought to see her when she's got on one of them fancy dresses instead of them men's clothes.
Well, that old man in here, she was a little rough on him, wasn't she?
He ought to know. It don't pay to get Casey riled. Anybody's got a mind to do any freighting out of here has got to deal with Pat Casey. And it's easier when she ain't riled.
He got his ore this far. Couldn't he use his own animals?
Casey owns the right-of-way. Do business with her, or, like she said, go over the mountain.
Quite a setup.
Quite a woman.
Which way is the King's Hotel?
Out the door to your left.
Thanks. Hello, Hurley.
Oh, Paladin, come in.
Thanks.
Oh, I'm glad you got here. Sit down, sit down.
Yeah, your wire said urgent.
Urgent? Minutes count, Paladin. We're working against a deadline so important that if we don't meet it, it means ruin.
Ruin?
Well, most of us citizens of Willway invested our whole future in the future of this town. Now, that was some time ago, when we heard that the Central Pacific Railway was coming through here.
And instead they laid their tracks 99 miles away.
Yes.
Yeah.
And at first we thought Willway was going to be another ghost town.
Yeah, it's a sad thing to see a town die.
Well, we weren't going to bury it without a fight. There was one chance to save it, a connection with the railroad. So we promoted our own line. We're laying a narrow gauge track that connects with the Central Pacific.
It's quite an undertaking.
Well, it's been a battle all the way. Now that the end is in sight, it looks like we might lose after all.
Why's that?
Well, we've got opposition. Tough opposition. One Pat Casey.
Pat Casey? I just had the pleasure.
Well, you'd be surprised how much weight that woman can throw around. She fought us on the franchise. She fought us on the financial backing. Now she's fighting us on construction.
Well, I can see your point. The railway will certainly cut into that lucrative little business she has set up.
Now, the track's been laid to just 12 miles outside of town. We've got 3 weeks to finish it or lose our franchise.
12 miles in 3 weeks? Well, you ought to be able to do that.
Oh, under ordinary circumstances, yes. But not the way we're going. One delay after another. Trouble among the men, trouble with the equipment, all kinds of trouble that consumes precious time.
Trouble instigated by Casey?
Yes. Now, we need your help. We've got to meet that deadline.
You expect me to fight a woman?
That's why I sent for you.
Hurley, look...
Paladin, I'll lay odds you never had a craftier adversary.
Seems to me you have picked pretty rough country for your railroad.
Took our engineer and a party of surveyors exactly a year to lay out a route through here.
This runs parallel to Casey's right away?
Just 5 miles east. Oh, there's the construction camp down there.
Listen, when I meet the men, you'll introduce me as the new foreman. Is that right?
Yes. Figured that'd be the way you could really keep your eye on what's going on.
I'm hardly qualified to boss a construction crew.
Well, the engineer will help you on any technical points. All you have to do is be tough.
Tough?
That seems to be it. Found out our last foreman was being paid off by Casey.
I guess her money is buying all your trouble.
Hey, wait a minute.
Ooh. 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 Hey, what's going on down there?
That's the mess tent.
Sounds like a riot. Come on.
Yeah.
Pieces.
I leave it to me. I'm the foreman, remember? Come on. All right. Quiet. You hear me? I said quiet. Now, what's going on here? Answer me. What's the meaning of this?
We ain't eating this slop. That's what we want to do.
Meal time is over anyway. Get back on the job.
Well, just who are you giving them orders?
I'm bossing this outfit. Now, get back on the job. You hear?
Yeah, I hear you, mister. But I don't like the sound of you.
You want to do something about it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you don't. Next. All right. Anyone next? I know this man on the ground here was accepting money to make trouble in this camp. Now you listen to me. There's a broken jaw waiting for every one of you on that payroll, every one of you taking that dirty money. If you're not out of camp by sundown.
You really scared them.
Getting tough didn't seem to help the cause any, did it?
Out of 30 men, we've got 2 left.
Well, those men wouldn't have done you any good. If Casey was paying him off to see that the road was never completed, it's a cinch she'd get her money's worth.
Well, she's managed to accomplish her purpose anyway.
What do you mean?
I mean, we've been defeated, Paladin. By the time we have left, we'll never be able to get another crew together.
You mean there's no place around here you can line up some men willing to work?
Oh, we tried. These fellows we had all came from out of the state.
Early, exactly how much remains to be done?
Well, we blasted the cuts and laid in the culverts and put up the trestle work. All we need now are men who can swing a pick and shovel and lay down 12 mile of track.
Wait. A pick and shovel? Oh, wait a minute.
What?
I think I can get you a crew, Hurley. Let's get back to town. I want to send a telegram. Hurley, this is King Chang, otherwise known as Hayboy. Those gentlemen lined up back there,
The members of the Celestial Dragon Society are all ready to go to work.
Well, I certainly want to thank you, Hayboy, you and your friends, for coming to our rescue.
Oh, Hayboy, tell members of Celestial Dragon Society, hard work, tough boss. All the same, telegram say, Mr. Paladin need help, you better go.
What did you tell the Carlton Hotel, Hayboy?
Oh, I tell her, Carlton Hotel, Hayboy must go, have uncle in Salinas, very sick.
Oh, no. Hey, boy, you didn't use that old story about your sick uncle in Salinas again.
Oh, he thought always work.
Hey, boy, we have less than 2 weeks now to lay 12 miles of track. Do you think you can do it?
Oh, sure. Don't you worry, Mr. Holly.
All right, hey, boy, the ties are stacked up by the railhead back there. The rails are on the flat car.
Well, I want you to know those ties are worth their weight in gold. We had to scout around sawmills as far away as Wyoming to get those.
Hey, boy, get the boys lined up with picks and shovels. We'll get to work.
Excuse, please, but I look like maybe better do something quick. Look like a smoke come from where ties are stacked.
Oh, hey, he's right. They're on fire.
Helen, the fire's no accident. If those go up, we're finished.
Come on. Get the water buckets. Hey, boy, get the boys lined up to fight fire.
Hello, Paladin. Come on in.
Why the long face, Hurley?
Well, because we're licked. You know it. A week and a day to go.
The boys have been cutting ties in that stand of trees
up
the canyon.
Oh, yes, yes, I know. It's a good try, Paladin.
Hurley, you'd be surprised at what they've accomplished. I talked to your chief engineer. He figures that with what we've managed to save from the fire, we've got enough to finish the job.
He still thinks it can be done in time?
Well, providing we can haul those ties down from the canyon immediately, but... we'll need every mule in the county.
Oh, well, you know who has all the mules in the county.
Yeah. And I'm going to make a deal to hire them.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
Maybe. But it's worth a try.
And now, here are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Charlie, where have you been?
Well, it's a long story, Bergen. Remember, you said you wanted the car lubricated.
I said I wanted a Guardian maintenance lubrication. Like all Chevrolets, Pontiacs, Oldsmobiles, Buicks, Cadillacs, and Chevy and GMC trucks, our car deserves the best of service. And that means Guardian maintenance at our dealer service department.
Yes, well, I drove our car to our dealers without an accident.
Oh?
Most of the way.
Charlie, where's the car now?
It's on Main Street between 4th and 5th.
Is it closer to 4th or 5th?
It's all the way from 4th to 5th.
All right, young man, you're going to get it now.
I'm only kidding, Bergen. It's just a scratch fender. Our dealer's GM trained mechanics have already got it looking like new again. It's part of their quality appearance service. Shall I still meet you in the woodshed?
You drove the car without permission. It's the woodshed. And I'll see you there as soon as I phone the dealer.
Well, take your time. If you're not there in 10 minutes, I'll start without you.
Hello, Vince.
Oh, hello.
Pat Casey in.
Upstairs in her office. You want a drink?
Later.
Hey, you can't go up there.
You want a bet?
Yes? Hey, what's the idea?
Well, Vince was right.
He was?
Ah. He told me I should see you in a fancy dress sometime. Instead of those boys' clothes. Lovely.
Mister, I know how I look in a dress. I also know you're with that railroad outfit. Now, what do you want?
Yeah. I want to hire your mules.
It'll cost you.
We'll pay.
When you want them?
Hmm?
I said, when do you want them?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I was expecting a fight. Does this mean you've come to realize how important the railroad is to Willway?
I'm not interested in anything that isn't important to Pat Casey.
But why the change of heart?
I can relax now. The country will take over. Have you looked at the sky?
No.
I know this country, mister. It fights back. I know it's going to rain. I know it's going to rain hard. I know it might even flood in those mountains. You'll never get those tracks laid in time, even if you have my mules.
We'll take the chance.
You fight hard.
You do, too.
Mine's a dedicated fight.
It has to be.
I swore I'd wipe the name of this town off the map, and I've just about got it done.
Why so bitter?
I was with a show troupe. My partner and I got stranded in this town. He was a sweet guy. The town wasn't very nice to us. We were used to that. But my partner was sick. Maybe if the town had been a little nicer, he'd be alive. I haven't the least idea why I told you that. I don't think a person in Woolway remembers.
I'm glad you did tell me.
All right. You can pick up the mules when the money's on the line. Now I'm busy.
Paladin!
Over here, hey boy.
Oh, Mr. Paladin. Boys found spikes in the last piece of track, but still have 3 miles to go.
Yeah, I know, hey boy. That track ought to be here any minute now. It was on a siding at the other end of our line. I saw it.
But, Mr. Paladin, time's short.
Yeah, I realize that. Midnight tonight.
Oh, somebody comes.
Probably Hurley. Well, he'll know just when the track will get here.
Paladin?
What about the track, Hurley?
It won't get here.
What do you mean?
A flat car was derailed 8 miles up the way by a flood. The rails are buried in a wash, and there's no possible way to get them out in time.
You mean this beats us with only 3 miles to go?
How do you like that? At midnight tonight, because of those 3 miles, we lose our franchise.
Oh, my, it must be something.
Hurley, how does that contract read?
Well, we agreed to have track laid from the Central Pacific lines to the city limits in a specified time.
And we're just 3 miles short of the city limits?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
All right. You know about the mountain coming to Muhammad, don't you?
What are you talking about?
Can you call a special meeting of the Woolway City Council?
What, now?
Yes, it's an emergency.
Why?
In view of the potential growth of Woolway, I think we should point out to the city council that they should be far-sighted enough to allow room for that growth by extending the city limits 3 miles. Before midnight tonight.
Oh, Paladin. Paladin, that sheer genius.
Oh, Mr. Paladin, you his head, huh?
Well, hey, boy, it usually figures that you can get further that way than by being tough. Come on, let's go. Beat that deadline.
This is a big day for our town.
Pretty exciting.
Oh, just about time. Train drove.
Wait for me! Hold that thing!
Hey!
Wait!
That's Pat Casey.
Mister, hold it back, will you? While I climb on that thing.
Yeah, of course. Here. You're leaving Woolway, Casey?
Yes, had enough. Stay too long as it is.
Here, allow me up.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
There you are.
Just put the bag down there. I understand you're from Frisco.
Yeah.
I may get out that way sometime. I'll look you up.
Yeah. Paladin. Carlton Hotel.
I'll remember. So long.
Good luck, Casey.
Thanks.
Well, hello, Miss Wong.
Hello, Missy Wong.
Oh, Missy Wong, so glad to see you home again.
We're glad to be home again.
Missy Wong, look. Hey boy's hand. He got it blistered.
Oh, poor hey boy.
Oh, hey boy dig. Hey boy swingy pick. Oh. Hey boy work all his live long day.
Hey boy, you and the boys did a fine job. Here. Come on in my room and sit down for a minute before you report into the hotel.
Oh, no, no. Hey, boy, better go say ready to start back to work. And, hey, boy, so glad to be home. Never going to leave Carlton Hotel again.
Oh, hey, boy. Have to leave right away.
He has to leave?
Have
why?
To leave. Ho Chang.
Ho Chang? Who's...
Hey, boy's uncle in Salinas. He's very sick.
Ho?
Ho.
Oh, no.
Miss Wong, you mean hey, boy really has an uncle in Salinas?
Oh, Isa. He's sick. Hey, boy must go.
Well. Hey, boy. This is like the boy who hollered wolf.
Yes, sir. When he hear boy holler, Uncle.
Thirsty people everywhere prefer ice-cold Pepsi-Cola. And because it's light, it refreshes without filling.
Charlie, be sociable.
I am, Kay. Pepsi is a favorite of thirsty people from Maine to Hawaii, from Alaska to Florida.
Charlie.
It's perfect for parties or picnics. So serve Pepsi to your guests.
That's helpful, but...
This is the sociable part. Keep plenty of Pepsi ice-cold and ready. Remember, it goes fast because everybody likes Pepsi.
Singing still sounds more inviting. May I?
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
But singing doesn't say, pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today. Better yet, get a case.
You do that.
Gun Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun Will Travel by Ann Dowd. Featured in the cast were Gene Bates, Tim Graham, Charlie Lung, and Lawrence Dopkin. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun Will Travel.
Have Gun Will Travel on Tuned to Yesterday from the 11th of September 1960 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeBonier. It's been a pleasure.